Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops
at. Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to
the man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys and chill, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
And we're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the rest of the NBA season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE50. That's BLEAV50 to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Chief Concerns. I'm here with our hosts, former tight end Jason Dunn and former cornerback Eric Warfield. Fellas, how you doing?
I don't know about JD, but I'm tired. I just played 36.
Dang.
36.
Huh?
Is that a new card game, Amos? I know you went out to 36 holes on golf.
Nah, a little chick that I know. She's 36 years old.
I'm here for that story.
Good one. Yeah. That's I hear you say, well done. There you go. Good for you.
Your boy Steph Curry broke the all-time three-point record last night. How are you feeling about that?
Oh, I was excited. You know what? These last few games haven't been as exciting until he actually got it. And I think he was stressing himself out so much to get it, to just go out and jack up shots where it made the game look bad, because that's all, you know, he's chasing instead of playing his game is when he actually shoots better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so it was like he was having wide open shots. He was just missing them. But I don't know if it was just too much on his mind and just go ahead and conquer it. Yeah, it just – I'm glad he got it done either way.
Yeah, I didn't realize it, but after watching the game on Saturday, my Sixers going up against your Warriors, it was the first time a player had blocked 2 3-point attempts from Steph Curry in his career, and Matisse Thybulle did that during that game. I thought that was a nuts. That was a nuts stat,
which is crazy because like people know he's going to shoot the three.
Yeah,
they automatically know. But then it's like when he's chasing this record, it's almost like more incentive to play that. You know, that three-pointer and block it, mm-hmm. or to guard him off of it than it is in a regular game. But he makes it look so easy when he's just go out and playing a regular game than it's just chasing that record.
You know, we know how it is, though. I mean, when you know something's within your grasp, right, and it's like you just want to get there.
You see the commercials where a lady was calling her kids, and she was so distorted, and they said it like a horror movie?
Mm-mm.
Well, that's what you sound like right now.
All right, hold on.
Hey, man, you are all messed up right now.
let me do this.
How about now? Is that better?
Yeah, it's better.
That's the 1-2. Okay, there we go. We rock with this then.
All right. Was your volume jacked up higher summer?
No, man. You know what? I don't know. I think my microphone, man, it ain't working. It ain't serving me any justice right now. So, but listen, go on, send me that $20 that you owe me from the Josh Gordon. Okay, so I can put you on a new microphone.
Was that the bet, Marcus?
It was a bet, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the bet.
I don't remember how much money it was, though. I don't know if it was. Was it 20?
20. That's all it was, 20.
You got Cash App?
Huh?
You got Cash App?
I sure do. Yes, sir.
You sure will get it.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. I've been looking to just go on cash in on that real quick. I want to make that point of it.
Well, I mean, and at the end of the last show, we kind of talked about it. E got off right before we could talk about it. But the bet you guys had in the preseason that Lamar Jackson wouldn't have a 1,000-yard receiver, we're about 170 yards away from Marquise Brown getting the that 1,000 yards as a receiver. I think you guys put 100 on that one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yep, a whole yard. I'll take that, too. We appreciate it. So we're going to get us a new microphone, E. A courtesy of you, I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate it. He little nuggets you give me.
He did it when it happens.
Well, what's funny was during that game, we got a bunch of people tweeting at us about how you were right about your prediction. Dunstradamus, I was calling you on Twitter.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it, man. It was funny. That little thing you did with the Zoltan. Got a kick out of that. It was funny. It was good. But I want to hear you say it one more time. What was that? What'd you say, Marcus? I was
that
right.
That had nothing to do with him being in shape, knowing the playbook, nothing. That was like, okay, he hadn't gotten the ball in all these times. Just give him a little quick three, let him get in his zone.
Sometimes that's all it takes, man. Get the guy going. That's all it takes, though, man. That's
I
all.
Hope, I hope he's going.
I know it, man. Now he's out this week, but you know what? Hey, look, he got a touchdown. He got Duke catches. Look, rest this week. Just go on rest. Just take your rest right now. You know,
rest. No. We don't need rest. We got Chris Jones out, possibly out, so that causes a little fear.
Yeah. And there's a few more inactives too, and we'll get to that during one of the segments tonight.
Yeah.
But we can dive right in with the first segment, which obviously, if you're living under a rock, you would know that the Chiefs dominated the Raiders 48-9, which was the biggest blowout in the Raiders-Chiefs rivalry history, which I thought was insane. The fact 48-9 and then 41-14 in two separate weeks this year. But yeah, it was a wire to wire from the first snap, you know, the fumble for the touchdown. And then we kind of didn't look back after that. But what stood out to you in the 48-9 victory over the Raiders?
I'll go. I'll tell you what stood out, man. First off, man, let me say this. You know, the disrespect, okay, first off, with them coming and standing on the Arrowhead, it was unwarranted, ridiculous, and they needed anything to try to get them up and amped to come and play in the game. Look, fine. You want to do that, then guess what? You better write you a check that your butt can't cash. If you try to do that, you're going to get it. So, first off, in our house, doing that is just completely disrespectful. I don't care where you play at, you just shouldn't do it. All right? It's classless. It really is. But the takeaways from the game, defense playing stellar like always. The first, you know, fumble recovery for a touchdown, man, it was just right out the gate. Just right out the gate, man. It looked like the game was just swinging right in our way, and you just knew it was going to be a good day. So a team that's been flailing like the Raiders have been doing, you're supposed to make them lose, right? Like I said, there's three things you got to be able to do during the fourth quarter of the season. Keep the loser teams losing, right? Win at home, and you got to win in your division. And we did those three things. So good takeaway. The defense played well. Josh Gordon, he got his little touchdown in. The running backs made touchdowns when they needed to. You know, close to the red zone. That was it. That was a good takeaway, man. I think it was a full team win, and they looked really good. And that's how you do. You take advantage of the turnovers. I think we had five turnovers in the game that we had that we ended up getting, something like that. Was it four or five?
A lot.
Yeah. And so that right there is promising. I think we're in a good spot where we need to be, kind of going into tomorrow night. And that was my takeaway, man. Stellar. Good job.
Yeah, it was an exciting game from the start, especially to get the turnover and the 6 points out of it so quick, just to kick things off. You know, I'm more excited as to what the defense is doing, because, I mean, for the years that we've had Patrick Mahomes, you know, that's basically what our entire team has been known for. It's a high-powered offense because of the weapons that we have and the guy that's, you know, distributing the ball. Right now, I'm just flying on cloud nine because I see that these guys are making a complete turnaround. to becoming a top tier defense, not just a defense that has gotten better than what, heck, well, I think we were like almost last in most categories to start the season out with. And to see how far they've come to be a top tier defense. And, you know, Tyron is out there doing Tyron Matthew things. Chris Jones has just been a force. And I don't know what sparked the light up under Frank Clark's ass, but he's been balling out there. So it's been a joy to watch those guys play. And the most exciting that I've really gotten out of it all is Dan Sorensen. I love all the plays that he's making. I love the time he's getting for all the shit that he's taking early in the season. So, you know, right now I feel like I'm his number one fan to get him back to where he was, you know, at his best. And so just to see the defense balling the way that they're balling, that's what brings me more excited. And especially with going up against a Chargers team and Herbert, you know, who came into our place and put a whooping on us. So, yeah, it's I feel like it's payback time. But, you know, they're still a good team. They have two good receivers. They have a good running back. And they have a good quarterback. So we just need to keep up the intensity, keep up the playmaking that we're doing. I know there's talk that, like, Chris Jones may not play. But hopefully – with what we've sparked so far with the defense, the guys can keep it up.
Yeah, he didn't. I don't think he passed the COVID protocol, right? So he's going to be out. Josh is going to be out. I think Willie Gaines is going to be out.
Yeah, those are
the three. Is that the only three I know? I think
those are the only three from COVID. And then LeJarius Seed still out from his personal reasons.
Right. Yeah. So it's going to be a good matchup, man, tomorrow. It's going to be exciting, and I know the guys are going to appreciate just having the weather, you know, just being out that way. So that's going to be the plus. But I, you know what I think? I think the guys, man, are riding high. Like you said, that defense, and you know how it is, man. When you have that confidence, man, you're playing at a high level. But that many turnovers, it just rolls over to the very next week. It just rolls over the very next week, man. And what they've just been doing for the past six games been holding teams under 20 points. And so – you've been doing it for 6 weeks in a row. You just you walking around like the top of the town with your chest out, right? Now, like you said, you're beating on your chest. You're sitting over there. You got your chin up. Now you're walking around proud like you should. And I think the defense, even when some of these guys are out the key places, these other guys are going to be able to step up. And so I'm looking right now with Chris being out, you know, Reed, Nnamdi, and all those guys getting a chance to come out there and see what they can do, you know, just keep this thing going. Right.
Yeah. As far as that, the next concern is really about the guys who are going to be out tomorrow night. I mean, obviously we've seen the depth we had in the secondary. So obviously Snead didn't play last week. We have Mike Hughes stepped up. I think he was AFC defensive player of the week this past week. So it just shows the depth of the cornerbacks, Rashad Fenton, him, Charvarius Ward. But overall, though, with Chris Jones and Willie Gay possibly being out, how big of a loss is that for our defensive unit going against a high-powered offense like the Chargers this tomorrow
There's
night?
There's no easy way to sugarcoat it, and you can't. Chris is a force. Chris is easily the, you know, Aaron Donald's having another great year. You know, 10 sacks throughout the first, how many games we in so far?
This is week 16, right? 15.
As a D-tackle. You know, he is still the man out there, and Chris Jones is right behind him. So you can't say that you expect us to be the same defense that we were without him, because he's a force. That's no other way of looking at it. And Gay has been playing really, really good ball to where he will be missed. Is Neiman prepared? I think he is. He's had enough reps. He's had enough playing time to where he's well experienced, knows the playbook well, but he doesn't have the playmaking ability that Gay does. But I think he can make enough plays to where we can sustain and to get a win with it.
Yeah, somebody like Chris, man, it's hard to replace. You know, it's hard to like just plug and play. But like he said, Neiman coming in, And the thing was, we was out gate the first of the season. We had, was without Chris at first of season two. And so the guys that had been putting in that came out there, they got some experience under their belt. And like I said, they've been kind of riding high with what the defense has been doing. They've contributed as well, you know, so that's a good thing. The thing is, can they sustain what they need to do for the entire game? And I think they can. I think you had to do, you know, some different things because, like E said, man, I mean, Chris is a force inside. I mean, you've seen it. There's some things he's just doing that other guys just can't do. It just really. And so that's going to be really the challenge to see what he can do, you know, especially like Ingram and if Clark still plays at a high level. Frank comes out, plays a good job. I think, you know, we'll give these guys a good run for their money, man. And it's payback. It really is payback. And so I think we'll do some things defensively different than we played them, the first time around. And it's not going to be, you know, Justin Herbert just tossing the ball all around the field on them.
Second, I don't think we had Ward that game either, did we?
I don't know. I don't think. I don't think we did.
I don't think we had him in that game. So he's him stepping in to be a great addition to having Mike Williams and Keenan Allen out there. So, but go ahead, JD.
My bad. No, it's good because you know those guys. Ward, they're going to challenge those guys. And like I said before, once you have that confidence of playing like you have been playing in the past 6 weeks. You know, you just got a whole different feel about it, a whole different confidence when you go up against these guys. Because we've gone against some good receivers. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, Davante Adams and the guys like that they have seen in these past few weeks, C.D. Lamb, I mean, come on now. So the thing is, you know, Mike and them guys coming back in there, they're like, look, man, we ready for them this next time. All right? We the guys we y'all need to beat. So it's not us catching up to you all. They're going to catch up to what we're doing. And so I think, you know, going into the game, I'm going to give us an advantage, no doubt about it. And I think offensively, we're an advantage too. Because now Patrick's seen what you've been able to throw at him. And so now he's more prepared. I think they're doing things, you know, calling plays. At least this past week, I've seen things differently how they call the game. And I think that's just going to go ahead and go into it this week too. I don't care who you play. It's always hard to beat a team twice. And, you know, they got lucky. They escaped out of here the first time. But I don't think they're going to be so lucky playing against them this week, tomorrow.
You know, they had a stat Monday night with the Cardinals. Undefeated on the road and got their losses at home. You know, we're kind of in the same boat, aren't we? I think all the losses that we have are at home.
Yep. Most of them.
So we have the, and I know this is a road game, but, you know, we have all that momentum in Arrowhead and you know, being at home, we got to find a way to, you know, play our best game when we're at home, man.
Hey, yeah. Win within your division, right? Fourth quarter football, win within your division. That's got to be one of the keys.
That's true.
You know, win on the road, you got to get turnovers. And so we got some ball hawks, man. We start doing that. And the thing is, you sustain drives. Protect the football. If we protect the football, that's the main thing offensively. Protect the football, sustain drives, and we're going to be fine. And I think, you know, with CEH back, is going to add to it. Nicole got some good looks last week. Get him going a little bit more.
The way Gore looks.
Yeah. So, but, you know, we're going to be without him this week. Tomorrow, we're going to be without him. So, but look, we still got the weapons. We still got the best weapons against Joe. We still got the best weapons on that field, bar none. Okay, seriously. So,
and a good thing about the cancellation. If we're going to cancel out Chris Jones, they're without their left tackle, their starting left tackle this week against us as well. I would say the one drawback to not having Willie Gay. You got a running back like Austin Eckler, who's, you know, so versatile. He can play all over the place. And a guy like Willie Gay, who's an athletic linebacker, you know, he could guard him in space. So that's going to kind of be problematic for Neiman. Looking at the numbers, Mike Williams did kind of take our lunch money last time we played him to get 9 for 129. And then he had 2 touchdowns that game. This is payback. And the question I did want to ask you guys. So any Chiefs fan who watches the Chargers games went going to San Diego or LA. Those stadiums are usually packed with Chiefs fans, so it's really not much of a home field advantage. And I will say this, you kind of mentioned about going to the at this time of the year, the weather in LA is much nicer than Kansas City. So like a thing like that for a player going to LA, is that like kind of like a good thing for the players, that they're like, oh man, we're going to the West Coast for this game. Is that like something that's like they're talking about? Like they're not, the weather will be an impactful thing, right, for the guys.
Man, as much as people, you see guys out there with no sleeves on when it's cold, you know, nobody likes that. If we can play in 80 degree weather, but you know, where it's not scorching hot, you know, you got a nice breeze and you got the nice grass out there, you would love that. And that's what you love to play football in. That's what LA kind of provides. Nobody wants to be out there freezing the buns off and toes and fingers where you can't really feel. You know, your hands. So yeah, no, that hurts, man. We pretend to be the tough guy out there the entire time, and it looks good for TV. But you know, when you get those licks, man, that stuff stings.
Mm. You talking about being lubed up? I mean, man. I mean, you out in the open, boy. I'm telling you, man. You wide open now. Sure. I mean, you just feeling you running on your tiptoes when you out there. Yeah. I mean, shoot, man, you sitting over it like, you know, with cold weather, you know, you try to put Icy Hot on and all type of different things, Vaseline, whatever it is, try to keep that, insulate yourself. But now you out there, shoot, man, you might just, I don't know, you might go free bird, not even wearing no jockstrap or nothing.
Yeah.
I'm sure you had some like crazy like teammates who love that cold weather, right? I'm sure there's some like the crazy bastards who love that stuff.
Yeah, man.
Again, man, that's just to psych yourself out.
Right. How tough are you? Oh, come on. Why are you wearing sleeves out here? Because I'm cold. That's why I'm wearing sleeves. Oh, you ain't tough enough? Yeah, it ain't got nothing about being tough. It's about being smart, right? So I'm being smart. And, you know, if you want to go out there in the cold weather all you want to, have at it. So.
Well, you told that one story last time when we played the Chargers about, was it Sean Merriman not wearing didn't want to wear a sleeve, or they wore sleeves to the game? Well, what was the story you told, JD?
Oh, yeah. You see all the, when it came to Arrowhead during the wintertime, all of them had sleeves on. They was doubled up. They had two sleeves out. I mean, you know, big old winter gloves. You know, I'm like, man, they can't catch no footballs. They ain't going to make no tackles. And you can see it. You can just see it in their face. They was just like, man, we do not want to be out here. For this game, you know. Should I think I ran like an 80-yard reverse on them, man. They ain't want to tackle nobody. I'm just playing, you know.
Midwest is brutal, man, when the season changes.
Yes, sir. Oh, real quick, man. Shout out, man, for, you know, the tornadoes and stuff like that, for everybody that was dealing with it here in Kentucky. You know, I know we said Midwest and we talk about the storms and stuff, but I don't want to bring up a somber moment. But
is that close to you guys?
Yeah, man, I'm about two and a half hours away. My sister is like a mile down from where she lives in Bowling Green. You know, there was like a apartment building that just got absolutely obliterated. I mean, completely demolished. I mean, it was like nothing else there, man. And my friend, I talked to him earlier this morning. He's from Mayfield, and he's on the phone with me, and he's in tears. You know, he just talking. He said, JD, he said, man, I don't even recognize the place. He said, I'm lost. He said, because the places I would remember, I don't even recognize anymore. And while he's telling me this, man, he's just tearing up. He's just in tears. And he was just talking about how he just had to go home to see what he can do to kind of help out. And so, I told him, I said, man, look, I'm going to say this. I said, I'm going to try to, you know, promote as much as possible for people to get out here and, you know, give to this. I mean, it's been such a warm feeling for the type of response that you've seen from, you know, people around the state, around the United States, you know, to help out and to give and see what people needed. The amount of friends and loved ones coming to the rescue of these things, and even, you know, the government coming in and helping out, trying to do their part and everything, man. So, I mean, the loss of life, man, is something that, you know, you just got to cherish, because you can't get those things back, man. But, you know, he really touched me. And just seeing the things that they just been dealing with down here, I've been thinking in my head, like, what more do I have to do? Sure, I even thought about, you know, going down and taking a chainsaw and see what I could do, man. And it's been an outpouring of just a lot of support from a lot of different people, man. I'm just so thankful for just seeing that human element coming together, you know, getting away from all the other stuff and just realize these things right here that you're dealing and helping other people out that's in pain is the most important thing you could possibly do, you know, showing that love. So,
yeah.
Keep them in your thoughts, man, and the prayers. You know, all of them is needed, you know, and welcome everything. You know, but, you know, the rebuilding. I heard a guy on TV say, look, you know, one thing we could do, we can always rebuild.
Yeah.
You know, rebuild. Yeah. He said, but the thing is, we have a life, and that's the most precious thing, the most valuable thing we can have. And we're just thankful for that. We thank God for that. So.
For sure. For sure. I hate to segue from that back to football, but, so with this game coming up tomorrow, it's crazy. I hate Thursday night games. When you guys play, were there Thursday night games going on? No.
Uh-oh.
So you had the one Thanksgiving game against the Giants.
Yes, yeah, we had that. Yeah, for sure. Trying to think if yeah.
When you guys played your game early against the Dolphins when they had that hurricane, when was that? Was that Saturday? Tomorrow. Or was it Friday?
Friday.
It was Friday. Friday. Okay.
You remember Eddie?
Yes, I just don't remember the day.
Okay, yeah, because remember we had to fly down 2 days early, so we flew down on Friday and had the game on Friday because they said it was coming in that weekend. We flew in, got dressed at the hotel.
Wow.
Played the game, got on the flight, and flew out of there. I mean, it was like all in one day. It happened, you know? And so, I mean, they just kept talking about, like, the adversity we had to deal with coming down. They made a decision, hey, we're going to play on this day. We're going down, and that's what we did. It was crazy. It was crazy. But man, we got the dub, too. We got the win. You know, but shoot. That turnaround, dealing with that, is always tough. And especially, like, on a Thursday night when you just played on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, you got to go out to the West Coast, too. That trip in itself takes a lot out of you. I don't know about E and I, man, but I just know, like, being in that plane for a little while, always, like, two time zones. They always talk about the jet lag and whatnot. Does it affect you? Did you ever feel anything like that, E, when you was traveling to the West Coast?
When you go out there to play.
Yeah.
There's about a 90% chance going and coming, we were playing some type of card game.
but you didn't.
Going yeah. and coming, we were playing some type of card game.
Right. So, but you didn't feel like I don't know. You know how they say, like, sometimes the fatigue.
I was
like,
caught in the moment, man. You got money here. You got cars here. It's like, do I feel your turbulence? Do I feel the plane? The wing fall off the plane? No.
So
you ever experienced any like jet lag going to the opposite different time zone? No.
I mean, sometimes. I think once we get down that, you know, we play the game so fast, you know, that we don't really, the effects of the jet lag and stuff like that don't really sit in with you until you get home and stuff. You realize, like, oh my gosh, I just went through two time zones and getting back and everything's kind of off, but you know, not too much.
So you don't say playing a factor, the short week and on top of that, having to travel, you don't see that being a factor in anything.
That's going to be tough.
Everybody's got to do it though.
Yeah,
every team's got to do it. So,
but we just say
got to adjust.
Yeah, I mean, teams this week. See, my thing. Look, I'm gonna be honest. Like when you hear guys getting, you know, positive for COVID and stuff like that, you wonder, like, where? Okay, first off, where'd you get it from? Okay, who you been around? Who you been exposed? There's gonna be some more numbers coming up. You know, right now, it's always the thought of it. You know, because. I mean, I'm assuming they're doing testing every single day, especially somebody that's been around them. Like, now we got to test everybody every single day so we don't have an outbreak with everything. Because who is that? Is that the Rams? They're dealing with that right now, aren't they? It's like protocol. They did everything remotely. Nobody came into the office, and everybody, they've been doing like practice and studying the past 2 or 3 days at home. because of them going around. So,
well, the Rams had that the day of their game Monday night, they had like five guys go out with COVID, and then over the last few days, we've seen the Browns. I think they have like up to 10 to 11 guys out with COVID right now, including Baker Mayfield as well as their head coach.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy. So with the game, going to the next concern. So with the game tomorrow, with the AFC is pretty much up for grabs. This is kind of the it's right now to take over the West. Do you think the winner of this game is going to be the AFC West champion?
I think so. I think because you look at these other teams and how they're falling apart. Before it was the Chargers were a top team. You know, take nothing away from Baltimore because they're still a good team when Lamar Jackson is healthy, but they're not the same Baltimore team that was playing at the beginning of the season. So it's like we've made the right strides at the right time, and I feel like us and New England are playing the best at this moment. Tennessee is missing Henry. Still a good team. They're just missing the key piece to their team. I don't think that Cleveland has enough. I don't think Cincinnati has enough. Who else is out there that could be a threat in the AFC?
You know, they try to always bring up, Buffalo, Pats.
Buffalo. Yeah. And so, like, even them, like, they're falling apart. Like, you see these teams that start off so high, and, like, they come to this point of the season, it's when you should be playing your best ball. And these teams aren't. And the teams that I feel like are the strongest right now are us in New England.
I would have. Will they win the AFC championship this game?
I was talking about the AFC West.
The West. Okay, yeah, I was going to say not necessarily, but the West, because I really looked at the Chargers. I know where there's there, but who did they get? They got beat by who in the what's name in division? Who did they get beat by? Have you looked at their what's name? That's why I wanted to look at the record.
The games they lost as far as in division.
They lost to the Broncos. I know little Pat had two picks that game, right?
Yeah, 28-13. Yeah, that's okay. That's the only loss they've had in the division so far.
All right, so that was probably
They play us, Houston, Denver, and Las Vegas to finish out the season. So they still have two more division games after our game.
Right. So they would for them. If let's just say they beat us, which I don't think they will. If they lost to the Broncos and Vegas, we would win out. We won the rest of our division games. We went out. So I don't necessarily see that. I think we're gonna win the game anyway. But if the Chargers win, I still don't think they win the division. If it makes sense, did I say it correctly? Because I think they would still lose to the Broncos. Maybe even Vegas might even come in there with a Hail Mary and beat them. So.
Eddie, do you think that as well? If the Chargers win tomorrow night, they'll take it or no?
I don't know. I feel like we're the better team, though. You know, I don't want to sit there and think that, if we lose this, because I think we did some silly things to shoot ourselves in the foot in the game that we did lose. Patrick forced a few plays. The defense wasn't on point. We just gave up some silly passes to where it's like the guys weren't even covered. And to take nothing away from Williams and Allen, they're really good receivers, but I just didn't feel like we were just tuned in at the beginning of the season at that point. So I just feel like we're a better team. I don't want to sit and contemplate, like, if they win. I feel like we need to win, one, confidence-wise, going into the end of the season or to end the season with, going into the playoffs and trying to hold down a home field advantage with all this. So I just feel like we're a better team and to just not even think about what happens if they win. Because I just think that we need this for the things that we're looking forward to going into the playoffs.
Yeah. And plus, winning this game gives us a two-game buffer within the division. That's huge. I did have a question. So everyone kind of talks about how it was a complete game on Sunday against the Raiders. The offense is still, maybe it's just I still have my 2020 and 2019 goggles on when I watch the offense. I'm still waiting for, you know, some like – I'm still waiting for this, like, you know, a 400-yard performance from Patrick, you know, throwing bombs to Tyreek, that, you know, throwing bombs at Kelsey. I mean, are we going to see that? I mean, or is this what the offense is kind of going to be from here on out, kind of more of an efficient offense?
I'm okay with what we have. Have teams figured out what we do? I think they understand we have two major pieces that makes Patrick more successful than any other quarterback, and that's Kelsey and Tyreek. And if you can double those guys and let those other ones beat you, you kind of minimize the offense. And that's what we've gotten throughout this season. Yes, we've had some breakout games. For the most part, we haven't. And we just got on track. Patrick throwing a touchdown just this last game. What was it, two or three games that he hadn't?
Yeah.
But that's not a knock on him. You know, Patrick's still a top, to me, one of the top two, top three quarterbacks in the game. But, yeah, if you take the, you know, double team those two guys, it's a matter of the other guys having to step up. And right now, I don't feel like they've really stepped up to accept the challenge, and which is what we seem like we, you know, complain about every single week. Who's going to be the third, fourth guy? So those guys just have to step up. I mean, I know we've implemented Gordon in the last game with a couple of passes and a touchdown. So hopefully this was a kickstart for what he can do.
Yeah, I think sometimes, like you said, you look at it, the goggles, you know, 2019 and what Patrick's been able to do. Like he said, you know, they're just starting to do things defensively different against us, which is fine because now all of a sudden, like you said, you find out what everybody else can do around you. And I think we have been just small increments of getting better or figuring things out. And so our main thing has been just eliminating the turnovers. Our turnovers are the one that's been hurting us more than anything else, right? And that's it's the same in the drive. So when you had a lot of it, like, you know, the drop passes or bouncing off guys' hands and all of a sudden, it, you know, it's in the defensive hand, that's been our problem. Last week, what was promising is we scored when we was in the red zone, and that was great. And that's what you're looking for because the efficiency of playing in the red zone is something that every team is looking to be better at. And so if we build on that, just staying that efficient like we did last week, then we're going to be good. So like CEH being back, who's going to be, you know, a big part of our offense. Like I said, like if Gordon, if he comes in and he gives you three balls a game, right, then, hey, he might just be that guy. He might just be that answer where you could use a big body. Throw the ball to him. Use McCole, like I said, on a couple of reverses, you know, a couple little, you know, trick plays here and there. I think we're going to be fine. So, you know, Patrick throwing for 300-something yards, you know, which is pedestrian for him. That's a great game for anybody else, any other quarterback in the league. So, yeah. Hey, man, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. But, like, you know, being efficient and balance is, I think, is where we need to go. I think that's the part where we need to figure out. Because if we just stayed like just being passing 50 times a game, that's not going to work. That's not going to be our forte, especially if guys are not catching the football like they should or, you know, the turnovers have been going up. You know, all of a sudden, of course, what you're doing, you're putting our linemen in a position where they had to pass block all day. And those guys, they don't want to do it. They shouldn't do it. And so, you know, we got two backs, three backs actually catch the ball out the backfield. So that's another weapon we've been utilizing too. So that adds on to it as well. So I don't mind it. I think we'll still get better. So we'll be good. Playoffs will be humming like we need to be.
And what, do you think they're using Gore? Because I've seen some people online saying how, you know, Derek Gore was used. Like they love the fact that he was utilized a lot last game. Was you think he was actually being utilized as far as like being in the rotation with the guys, or is it more we were blowing them out and we were just giving him some burn?
I, th- think both, to be honest with you. I think he was getting some burn, but it's like, okay, let's see what this guy can do, right? We see, you know, CEH Williams come in, you know, maybe they don't get as many yards. So let's, and I think, to be honest with you, you know, E, you've been talking about like that back that has that balance. I think Gore has a little bit more of that balance where he can, you know, he seems like a more natural runner than everybody else. He seems like he has better vision. And what I didn't quite like, and I'll say this, here's my being, you know, critiquing, is it just seemed like some of the runs, our running backs didn't really hit the hole, wasn't no vision running. It seemed like it was a lot of like delay, like handoffs. It was like that little, like, you know, oh man, I don't know. Basically, that's what it is. It's draw? Like draw. Yeah, I don't know why I couldn't even think of the name. That's what it was like, delay draw. Like, and I was just like, man, what is this? Like, run downhill. Trey Smith, Creed, Thuney, run downhill on these guys. If you delay, you know, you're taking away from the back actually hitting the hole as hard as he can. And so when you've got a guy back there dancing, you don't want him dancing. Hit the hole. You know, like I said, man, turn the grass on fire with your feet. So I think we need to do a little bit more of that. Hit the hole.
Would you say Gore is kind of the all-around back you've been kind of referring to? That you?
I mean, he's good. And I feel like, you know, having CH and Williams and those other guys playing the way that they're playing, that they deserve their time. They deserve their carries. But for what Gore's done when he's played, he's shown that he's a playmaker. He's shown that he gets positive yards when he does touch the rock. So you got to try to find a way to put him in. We don't know the status of people going into each game. And so when you can have that core of guys where you count on each one of your running backs that you put in, whether it's in the backfield or tossing the rock to them, you want to get those guys playing time. You know, it sucks that it came late for Gore, where he got put into the game, but that was due to injuries. And he showed his worth. And right now, we have to get CEH back involved with as many carries that we can, because he's our feature back. Yeah. But yet, Gore is a good back. You know, Williams is a good back. So can you make enough plays, make enough time to get each guy the reps? When you got games that are blowaways like the Raiders, you can. When you got a game that's down to the wire, you can't. You have to give that feature back and whoever else is number two those reps. And it was fortunate that we had a blowout win against the Raiders, so he got the clock and the carries.
And the reality is, it wasn't against like a – this ain't preseason. It wasn't like against the second or third team. This is the first game. Yeah. You know, so –
And as someone online had said something, and I tweeted back at them saying that the game kind of reminded me of, you know, with Blaylock and Priest. Obviously, they went through a lot of touchdowns, but, you know, having three running backs score in the game was like, you know, it's kind of reminded me of the Priest Holmes Blaylock versus the Atlanta Falcons game.
Oh, yes.
Which E had a pick six in that game.
I did.
You had pick six, E?
Yes, sure did.
Yeah. We want to shut him down, send him packing, but also, too, they kept saying how they was the number one defense too at that time. And so that was another thing when they came in. So they came in strutting and all of that, man. We put the hung up five, I think, first half on them.
Put it on. Took them out to the shed.
Yeah. I said, I think we let the ball boy come in and run a couple plays. you get in there. Go on, do some of it too. Go ahead. Do a little bit of this.
Who was that that pick six on? E, was that Brian Finneran? Or was that Michael Jenkins?
Oh, I have no idea. The receiver?
Yeah, because he was throwing a hitch route, and you kind of came up and picked
him. Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember who it was.
It might have been Roddy White.
Man, I have the worst memory.
I'm trying to remember who that receiver was, because I remember seeing that clip a lot on loop back in the day. But
yeah,
Brian Finneran. Brian Finneran. Who was the other receiver?
Brian Finneran, Michael Jenkins, Roddy White.
Michael Jason, okay. Yeah, I don't remember Roddy as much like name called, but I remember Brian Finneran.
Yeah, Roddy was probably
that game was we were clicking on all cylinders, offense and defense. So
No, it was just a blast from past. I made a comment about it. A bunch of people started talking about that game, and I thought that was Say goodbye to dull gifts. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the brightest gift of the year. Using cutting-edge technology and innovative techniques, they've cracked the science of sparkle, creating the highest quality lab-grown diamonds you can find at a light price, $800 per carat. They have the same chemical makeup of natural diamonds, but just are grown in a lab. Because of their process, they can create stones in blush pink and beautiful blue, as well as classic white. Lightbox lab-grown diamonds are the gift that they'll never want to take off, priced so they won't have to. They really do make any outfit sparkle. Visit lightboxjewelry.com to add sparkle to your holiday shopping. That's lightboxjewelry.com. Lightbox diamonds, never a dull moment. Yeah, okay. So final topic is the game predictions. So obviously we play tomorrow night. So quick turnaround for our Chiefs and us having a show and then a game tomorrow. So obviously play at 8:15 tomorrow night, Eastern Standard Time on Fox, Amazon Prime, and NFL Network. The game opened up as the Chiefs being a 4.5-point favorite. But I guess with the guys going to COVID, the Lions dropped now to we're a 3-point favorite now. And it's in Los Angeles. So, guys, what who do you guys have winning this game, and what are your score predictions for this one?
You know what's crazy? Like, every week that I pick that we score in the 20s, we score 30-plus. And every time I pick that we score 30-plus, we score 20-some. So, I hope that we're putting on a butt-whooping. So, I'm just going to say 28-20. Chiefs.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I'm gonna go 31-24. 31-24 Chiefs. You know, so I think it's still gonna be kind of a lot of points being thrown around. The first time Chiefs have given up 20 points in the last six games, so seventh game they might give up. Of course, they don't have Chris and these other guys. So that's what I'm looking at. 31-24.
I got Juan Thornhill getting to pick this game.
Okay.
I like it. Now, when you say 31-24, JD, are you talking like, are we talking a Patrick 300-400-yard performance, or are we still talking like an efficient kind of like 250-yard kind of game with, you know?
I think Patrick might go for about 324.
Okay.
Yeah, 354. Why not? Why not, man? Look, I told you they're going to be lubed up already. Everybody going to be out there like it's just – you know, doing the little karaoke's and all, you know, skip it. Oh, they're going to be ready. They're going to be ready. So yeah, man. Yeah, but he's going to get it open this week.
So. I hope so. I'm playing the first round of my fantasy playoffs, and I got Patrick, Kelsey, and Hill. So I need an offensive explosion this week. I need the guys right. Turning on this week.
I got a bye this week. I got a bye. I sit back.
I lost my bye because the Arizona Cardinals kicker hit a field goal. I lost by 0.8, so it dropped me from first place to third place. So I lost my bye on Monday night.
Yeah.
Going to the Chiefs and Chargers game, the line actually, so the total points, Vegas had it at 51, and then this morning it changed to 52. It's the highest point total of the week of any matchup in the NFL. So 52 total points is the over-under for the game. And E went with the under, and JD went with the over for this one.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that does it for us. Thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns presented by Bet Online. Gentlemen, another good show. And we'll see you next week to talk about this game and also look ahead to, I believe, was it Cincinnati next week?
Cincinnati.
Pittsburgh. We got Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Yeah, we ain't got the Bungles yet. So, yeah.
2 weeks for that. And that'll be an offensive explosion, I think, on both sides between Burrow and Mahomes. That'll be a nice matchup to talk about in 2 weeks. But we got Big Ben next week, so that'll be a fun one to talk about.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, fellas.
All right, gents.
All right, gentlemen.
All right, guys.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.